And I believe a beautiful message to our church as we consider Christ alive in us. What does it mean for the living Lord Jesus to live his life in us, to fill us up and to change us and transform us because of his very presence in us? And so I'm glad that you're here today and that we can share in this time together. So it's going to be the sixth chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to read from verse 18 to verse 24. And so find your place there, or perhaps you'll just let the Word of God speak. And so may the words of the song that we just heard be true of us. Lord, I'm listening. And so you speak. You speak. Paul writes this. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I will declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you." Tychicus was one of a number of men that accompanied Paul, and he turned to for support and for assistance in his mission work as he went about from place to place, planting churches and sharing the gospel with those all around. Verse 23, "Peace to the brothers and sisters, with love and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." An undying love. That's the title of my message today, Undying Love. I want to tell you that the word here for love is that New Testament word agape. And it's one that if you have been a part of a believing group of people in Jesus, you've heard that word, because that is the word for love, the New Testament word for love that really describes God's kind of love. It's a love that is preferential. In other words, it's a love that lays down itself because it prefers the other. It prefers another. And so it's agape love. It's sacrificial love. And it is God's kind of love. Thanks be to God for his great love for us. Amen. Since Easter, I've been sharing messages around the theme that Jesus Christ is alive in you and in me. And through his Holy Spirit, he is living his life through us. It's more than just a corner of my heart. Now listen, it's more than just a corner of my heart that Christ is wanting to occupy. It is all of me that Christ wants to fill. And it's not just a small drop of Christ's presence in me that I want, but I want all of Jesus Christ poured into me so that he can live fully in me and through me. This is the fullness, this fullness of Christ. This is fullness of Christ in us who believe. It is more than an over-spiritualized pursuit. So I've wondered about that sometimes. I've wondered if it really lands on us, that there is a kind of fullness of Christ in us that can be experienced. And I've wondered sometimes, Brian, are you just over-spiritualizing the pursuit? Well, Paul in the letter of Colossians says this. He says that this very thing, Christ in us, is actually our hope. He writes in Colossians 1:27, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." At first, it was understood by the disciples that Jesus Christ was their Messiah, and that he was sent to save their people and save their land. But in Jesus Christ, God the Father was at work to accomplish something wider and deeper and longer and higher. Paul calls it God's mystery, and likens this mystery to glorious riches. In other words, God had in mind to do a thing that was going to blow everybody's mind. And what is it that God was doing and is doing, I believe, even today? He was and is opening wide his glorious riches in Jesus Christ to all the world, not just to a few, not just to a single people, not just to a single land. This glorious and rich mystery is simply put this way: Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Paul's days, he was reaching out to the Gentiles, those who were non-Jewish in places spread out all across that region. Paul was wanting to communicate this great mystery of God, that the grace and love and salvation and mercy and call of God was upon all people, not just people of the Jewish faith. It is a glorious mystery. Christ in you. Even you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, listen, it is not lineage. The hope of glory is not related to your family tree. The hope of glory in Christ Jesus is not related to your status. It's not related to whether you have any special knowledge or any expertise. This hope of glory in Christ Jesus is not based on your income. It's not based on your strength of personality, your ability to get things done, your position or your power. This hope is not found in wealth or in politics or in prominence. This hope is not about force or about influence or about affluence. We might think that that's who gets the hope, that that's who gets the glory, that's who gets the riches, those are the ones who get the favor. But in God's economy, in the Father's truth, and it's a mystery, God's economy is that the hope and the glory and the riches and the favor rest in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can abide in anyone and can abide fully in anyone. And anyone can desire and ask for and seek more and more of Jesus Christ to be alive in them and to live his life fully through them. It is a mystery, but it is a mystery that can become a blessed reality. Jesus Christ, fully alive in you and in me. When Jesus Christ is fully alive in you and me, there is the presence of another mysterious kind of thing. Agape. Agape. You see, really, agape should not exist in us. And the mysterious and wonderful, the odd and wondrous thing is that when Christ Jesus fills us and is fully alive in us, the thing that seems to make its way in, and sometimes it takes time, and sometimes our humanity kind of kicks agape around and buries it and puts it in the corner, and it never really gets a chance to live through us. But when Jesus Christ is fully alive in us, he brings about this mysterious thing called agape love. A kind of love, a kind of way in the world that is sacrificial. A kind of way in the world, a kind of love that seeks to put another first. A kind of love in this world that lays down your very life, even unto death. And who in the world would do that? Why would you die for me? And why would I die for you? Agape is a mysterious thing, but it is the very thing that Jesus forms in us. This is the love, agape love, that describes what Jesus Christ brings about in people. And this is the kind of love, listen, that really transforms people. If you want to know what transforms a person, it is the presence of Jesus that forms agape love in you and in me. Agape love, the kind of love that lays down one's life, the kind of love that humbles itself in preference of another. And this is the love that Paul describes in Ephesians 6 when he talks about an undying love. More accurately, this verse says that Jesus's agape love for us and our agape love for him that is shared between Christ and those that believe in him. This kind of love is indestructible, incorruptible, and even unending. So the word that's translated as undying love, I don't know what translation you're reading from, but in my translation, which is the NIV, the word that's there, it says undying love. So the idea for that word undying is this idea of incorruptible, indestructible. It is perpetual, in perpetuity. You know what it means for something to be in perpetuity? It's unending. It goes on forever. It goes on until, I guess, Jesus comes back. That's what undying love is, that is brought about and formed in us because Christ is alive in us. When Christ is fully alive in me, agape love is an undying, indestructible, incorruptible, forever force at work in me and through me and on me. I need Christ's agape love to form me and change me and transform me into his plan, his idea, his image in me. His agape love for me, my agape love for him transforms me. And maybe this is the best way to end a focus on Christ alive in me, and that is a focus on undying agape love. It's what fills us. Now listen to me as I wrap it up. Agape love, because Christ is alive in us, it is agape love that fills us. Because Christ is alive in us, it is agape love that controls us. Agape love that convicts us. Agape love that sustains us. It's agape love that speaks to us through the Holy Spirit of Christ. And it's Christ's agape love that actually speaks through us. So Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. Sometimes we think, well, that entitles me to be able to say whatever I believe is right to someone. And I can say it in the kind of really kind Jesus kind of way, and it can be the meanest thing in the world, but hey, I'm speaking the truth in love. What you really need to hear from me is not what I think is true that you need to hear. What you really need to hear is Christ speaking agape love through my mouth to you. You don't need me to be your Holy Spirit. That's the last thing you need. You need God's Holy Spirit to be your Holy Spirit, to speak truth to you, and to form in you agape love. Well, it's Christ's agape love that fills us, that constrains us. I was talking recently to somebody, and this seems to be a common theme in some of my conversations, that the Lord is helping some of us to know when not to speak. There are times where I'm sitting there and I'm just itching to say something, and I know that I'm right, and I know that I need to speak up because nobody else is going to speak up for me, so I'm going to speak up, and I'm just going to go ahead and step in it. And I know what it's like when that happens. And it hits the fan. And it's like agape love, if I would quiet myself down and recognize Christ's agape love in me, what it would do is it would constrain me. And it would be Christ telling me, you need to quiet down. Don't speak. Don't speak. Let me speak. And when I speak through you, it will be agape love. But you, Brian, be quiet. So, agape love constrains us. Agape love, it guides us. Christ's agape love really will guide us as we are making decisions and wanting to walk through this life and receive God's blessings. Agape love guides us. God's agape love, it challenges us. You try to live out agape love and see if it doesn't challenge everything that you are, everything that you believe. Jesus Christ has a way of flipping the script. What we think ought to be. Jesus Christ seems to come in and say, I've got a different way. And so let my agape love challenge you and guide you. It is agape love that conforms us. As Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. And we see a lot of worldly conformity this day. And if we let that be our focus, it can be not only troubling, but it can be all-consuming. As believers, we do not let the world conform us, but we're transformed, changed, like a metamorphosis. And I've got all these little caterpillars crawling around my house, my driveway. Honestly, sometimes there are so many that when I back out, I run over some of them. There's that many. And what those little caterpillars do is they crawl up on a wall or on a tree or something, and they begin to weave a cocoon, spin a cocoon. And they disappear into that cocoon. And over time, what happens? It's called a metamorphosis. And that caterpillar changes from something that crawls on the ground to something that flies to the air. That's the kind of transformation agape love of Christ does. And it causes a metamorphosis in us. So if you can think of somebody and you think in your own heart, man, they need a metamorphosis. They need some transformation. Well, you can pray for them for sure. All kinds of prayers, all kinds of times. Pray for metamorphosis, that they would begin to be aware of Christ's agape love that is either in them if they're a believer or that is available to them if they are not yet a believer in Christ, and how that can transform them. And then also recognize that it's not just someone else that needs some transformation. I need some transforming. I need some metamorphosis in my life. So agape love, the love of Christ that fills us because Christ is alive in us, it transforms us. So do you want to know whether you're growing and maturing spiritually in Christ? That's a pretty good question to ask. Am I growing? Am I maturing in Christ? Well, maybe one way for us to answer that is to see how much agape love is at work in me and on me. Not increasing in my knowledge, although that's not a bad thing. Not trying to be more disciplined in my practice, though that's not a bad thing. But how is it that the love of Christ, the agape love of Christ, is transforming me? And as his agape love begins to take hold of me and work in me, I begin to change. Yesterday, I was in Johnson City at a graduation for my middle son, Chandler. And you can applaud because he has graduated. And there will be other applauses as we go through May, because we've got other folks that are graduating. And I want to say congratulations to all those graduating. Well done. But there were thousands of people in this auditorium. They were very smart people, very accomplished, very famous people, authors and professors and researchers and actors and doctors and lawyers and the whole bunch. And they were ordinary people, you know, and I guess our row was filled with the more ordinary people. I don't know. But I began to think about what is the power in this room? And how much impact a room like this has on the world that we live in. And when I thought about it that way, I thought, you know, I don't know how much power I have. I feel pretty limited. I'm a little guy that lives in a little town, pastor a little church. I don't know how much power I have to really make an impact. I looked around, I saw all these graduates, and I thought, man, they've accomplished so much, and they've got so much ahead of them, and so much impact in this world to make. And it hit me this morning. You know, Brian, the impact, the thing that really changes the world. All of those things are powerful, don't get me wrong. And you should strive to excel and to accomplish all that you possibly can to the glory of God. But I guess the thing in that room that probably was the most powerful thing was agape love. And I believe that. That after everything is said and done, after our lives are lived and spent, and we stand before the God that made us, I've heard it said this way, we'll have to give an answer for what we did with Jesus. And I think that's a pretty good way to think about it. But I think God's going to look at us and help us to see how it was that we were changed and transformed by agape love, His love, and how we lived out that love in this world for maximum impact. You see, maybe the thing that hamstrings most churches is that they really have no intent on living out agape love. Now, they may be a serving church. They may be an evangelistic church. They may be a teaching church. But I believe more and more that the thing that transforms people and churches is agape love. I wonder if you believe that as well. And so how is undying agape love transforming us? And if you're a note taker, you can jot down these things. They're in the form of questions, but I know sometimes for me, I'll just write down words that are kind of juxtaposed against each other. So here they are. How is undying agape love transforming me? Well, is there humility or is there pride? Is there trust? And now in this, the agape part is going to be the first word. And kind of the human part is going to be the last word. So is there humility or is there pride? Is there trust or is there control? Is there patience or is there pushing past? Is there listening or is there insisting? Is there compassion or is there condemnation? Is there joy or is there worry? Is there welcome? And you can fill in the blanks, but I'll fill in my blank. Is there welcome of others or is there fear of others? Because that was what the Lord said to me earlier in terms of those ideas that are kind of against each other. Is there welcome or is there fear? And I guess I'll leave us with this question. Who's on the throne of my life? Is it Christ or is it me? Lord, you help us. And you fill us and come alive in us, Lord, with the power of your agape love. May it transform us all for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.